The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Vincent. I'm your host. If you are listening to the show, it is Friday, May 27th. We are kicking off a holiday weekend with the biggest division in football as of this offseason, the AFC West. If you're watching on YouTube, it is Thursday, May 26th. If you're watching live, you could be watching, theoretically, you could be watching on Memorial Day or like Memorial Day 2023 and be like, man, these guys are stupid. Well, man, these guys are geniuses. Anyway, joining me to break down the AFC West, good friend of the show, Jordan Dejani. Jordan, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Brinson? Thanks so much for having me on this afternoon. Always glad to share the Pick Six airways with you, sir.
Do you ever find, and I'm saying this about myself, not you, because I think I've got a cheek beard going on currently. Mm-hmm. That's another reason to watch on YouTube, obviously. But I also find that like sometimes, and I'm wearing sunglasses for some reason, sometimes, clearly, not discombobulated at all, sometimes I find that my beard will grow its own beard in the form of a neck beard. Do you get that a lot?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I got to stay on top of that when it comes to trimming it. I got very,
you're younger and care about what people think about you.
Maybe a little bit. Yeah. You've already got the wife and the family kind of thing. I'm still working on that. So yeah, I gotta make sure I'm manicured anywhere I go.
I think my neck beard might have its own neck beard at this point. That's how bad things are getting. AFC West, let's dive right in. We're trying to keep these tight. Keep it tight this offseason.
All right.
A whole hour early. That's right, Jesse Clark. We are live an hour early. It's all my fault. Wait till Debo finds out about my schedule next week. He said doing finger guns. We'll start with the Chiefs, of course, because I guess in theory you could start elsewhere. I feel like the Chiefs, and I've been beating this drum all offseason. I will continue to beat it throughout the rest of the offseason. Please don't clip that. The Chiefs are the most undervalued team in the betting market because you can get them at plus 160 or thereabouts to win the division, I believe. And like plus money for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. They, of course, traded Tyreek Hill. They also lost
Tyrann Mathieu
in free agency. He signed with the Saints. Darrell Williams signed with Arizona. Byron Pringle signed with the Bears. DeMarcus Robinson signed with the Raiders. Melvin Ingram signed with the Dolphins. Sheesh. Anthony Hitchens was released. Chardavius Ward signed with San Francisco. Daniel Sorensen, well, that's not a loss. That's a win. He signed with New Orleans as well. Uh-oh, Saints. Watch out for that combo back there. To try and boost the safety position, they did sign Justin Reed to a massive contract. They traded for Lonnie Johnson, the cornerback. They signed Ronald Jones. Kind of an interesting signing there. And then they brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster in terms of their free agency. The Chiefs draft picks, they had two because of the Tyreek Hill trade in the first round. They selected cornerback Trent McDuffie out of Washington with the 21st overall pick. And then George Karlaftis with the 30th overall pick. And then, of course, Sky Moore in the second round, 54th overall, who I think a lot of people are extremely high on in this Andy Reid offense with Patrick Mahomes. Also worth noting, they got Justin Ross as an undrafted free agent after he sat out there for a while. And I only note that because yesterday, Jordan, the Chiefs posted a video of him making a sicko one-handed catch. If he's healthy, he is maybe the steal of this entire draft. Chiefs over under. 10.5 with the over juice to 130, coming off a 12-5 season last year, the first time in Andy Reid's tenure in Kansas City they didn't hit the over for their preseason win total. How are you feeling about this this Chiefs team looking at their schedule, which, to be frank, is not easy out of the gate at all?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We're in disagreement here. I mean, I'm not going to bet the Chiefs to win the division. I think I'm finding more value on either the Denver Broncos or Los Angeles Chargers, which are both at plus 250. So maybe I can concoct a very interesting play there and make some kind of money if one of those bets hits. I mean, the Chiefs have won the division, what, six straight seasons? The division as a whole got better. The AFC West is the big reason why we witnessed an unprecedented, dramatic NFL offseason. And to make matters worse, if you ask me, who are the two best divisions in the NFL? I would tell you the NFC West and the AFC West. And coincidentally, those two divisions are playing each other, which is going to greatly affect the win totals for those eight teams, in my opinion. You know, I think that's good evidence to lean under on a lot of these teams. So, as I mentioned, I'm not as high as you are on the Chiefs to win this division, but I still think they're a legitimate playoff team, even if that comes in the form of a wild card. Looking at the schedule,
By the way, the AFC West, which I should really note these on the top of every single podcast, but I'm an idiot, so I don't. The AFC West gets the NFC West, as you pointed out, Jordan, but also the AFC South. That's their two divisional matchups. And then the Chiefs, as you know, the division winner are going to draw tougher matchups. You know, like they get the Bengals. And then the Bills, I guess, is there two, and the Bucks. Oof.
Yeah, very tough matchups there. And, you know, looking at that before the bye week, those first, what, seven games, what's your prediction there? Because I'm thinking maybe they could go 4-3 when they hit their bye week. Remember, they started 3-4 last year. They were kind of slow getting out of the gate. With some of the losses that you mentioned earlier, you know, maybe that's something that could happen again. So I'm eyeing something like maybe a 4-3 record before they hit that week 8 bye.
It's not unreasonable. So they start their first four games, three of them are on the road at Arizona, home against the Chargers, at Indianapolis, and at Tampa Bay. Now, that Tampa Bay game is a primetime spot. I think it's Sunday Night Football, which is just Mahomes and Brady, just fantastic. A lot of people are going to have the Cardinals beating them in week one, and that's okay. It'll probably be a toss up. Even if you want to do that, I'm going to have them 2-2, worst case scenario. I think they find a way to split between Indy and Tampa Bay on those two road games. And I'll have them beating the Raiders at home. The Bills are probably the best team in football, but I still think Kansas City can beat them at home. The other thing about the Chiefs in this start is last year they were breaking in an entirely new offensive line. Like trying to figure out the pieces. There's a lot more continuity to that this year. The wide receivers, getting them acclimated to playing with Patrick Mahomes and him dealing with these new weapons, that's maybe a bigger problem for them. At San Francisco, a lot of that will depend on Trey Lance. But, you know, I think I'm going to have them hold serve at home and pick up two road wins going. So I'm going to have them at 5-2 going into that bye. 4-3 is not outrageous. That's hold serve at home and then win one of those road games. That is a perfectly like acceptable notion, I think. Coming out of the bye, it's a little friendlier, at least for the next four games. They're home against Tennessee, home against Jacksonville, at the Chargers, and home against the Rams. That Chargers game, by the way, is not a road game for the Chiefs just because of the nature of how they're franchise travels, division matchup, that it's going to be red in there. So what do you think? 3-1? I would say 3-1, or 2-2. You could go 2-2 if you're bearish on them, I suppose.
No, absolutely. I mean, the Titans and Chiefs have kind of been an interesting rival over the past couple of years. They met in the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago, of course. I think the Chiefs are 0-2 against the Titans in their last regular season matchups, which is kind of interesting. But the Titans may be poised to take a step backwards as well. Give them a win against the Jaguars. You mentioned the Chargers. I think they're going to split the season series with the Chargers. I think that's an okay scenario.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then, of course, against the Rams, that's going to be tough. And, you know, moving on, that week 11 through 14 slate, that's going to be tough, man. Chargers, Rams, Bengals, Broncos. Only Rams is, you know, the technical home game. So you're right. It's a little friendlier coming out of the bye, but then they have to really gear up for what could be a tough stretch.
All right. So you've got them. So I've got them at... What I say, 5-2. I've got them at 8-3. I think even if you want to say it's 4-3, then 3-1. I mean, I still think 7-4, worst case, going into at Cincy, at Denver, at Houston versus Seattle. I think that's a 2-2 situation where you know that maybe they split with Denver. You could lose at Cincy, but I think you're winning at Houston and winning at home against Seattle. And then I'll give them the win against Denver. And so that's in my And then I think they can beat the Raiders in Las Vegas. Obviously, seeding and whatnot could determine that. But if I've got 5-2, 3-1, that's 8-3 plus 2-2. That's my 10 right there. And then the win against Denver or the Raiders gets me over the total. I really think like it's okay to be down the Chiefs. Like a lot of people are down the Chiefs, and the division is hard. So it basically depends. Are you still bullish on Mahomes and Andy Reid, which I am, or are you sold on the rest of the division, which you are? And I think that sort of determines whether you go over or under in this case.
Absolutely. And I mean, you said it. I think it's these over under win totals for all four of these teams is literally going to come down to the buzzer. It's going to come down to those last two or three weeks, which is why this is probably not my favorite division to go heavy on when it comes to placing money on some of these lines. But I mean, it's a little bit of both. If we're getting back to the general specifics, I mean, the Chiefs wide receiving core, I was a lot more bullish on the Juju signing before Tyreek Hill left. I think Juju's a legitimate number two, not a star number one. But, you know, getting back to the schedule, I think I have the Chiefs worst case scenario, maybe logical, could be 6-7 leaving week 14. But then I have them reeling off four straight wins to end the year. That would get them to that 10-7 mark. As you mentioned off the top, it's juice to the over. So I find myself leaning a little bit under, you know, at plus money.
Yep. That's perfectly fine. Again, like I think it really just depends on, you know, which way you lean towards the Chiefs this season. And I, like I said, I'm a little more bullish. Okay. Let's move on to the Los Angeles Chargers for sure. Over under, although the Broncos and the Chargers, same over under. Chargers at 10, coming off a disappointing 9-8 season, you know, where they had a chance to go to the playoffs, and that Raiders game at the end was just crazy. They signed J.C. Jackson. They traded for Khalil Mack. I mean, these were their big moves. Well, you know, the Raiders, Chargers, and Broncos went big this offseason. They also added Kyle Van Noy, Sebastian Joseph Day, and Bryce Callahan, a sneaky signing. His best football was played in the Vic Fangio scheme, from which Brandon Staley derives his scheme. They lost my man, Justin Jones. Hate to see it, but otherwise had a pretty, you know, relatively strong offseason in bolstering what, like, a lot of people think is one of the best rosters in all of the NFL. Going over or under the Chargers here?
Yeah, you know, since I told you off the top that I like the Chargers to win the division, I think I have to lean over here with this. I think it's interesting. They got 5 primetime games. That ties a league high with 13 other teams. You know, I think it's going to be interesting to get off to a hot start, and I think it's also very possible looking at that schedule. Look at the Cleveland Browns in week 5. We're, of course, going to be talking about a potential Deshaun Watson suspension. He may not be in the lineup for that game. It's kind of on the border, in my opinion, whether that suspension could be 4 or 6 games. You know, if I'm high on the Chargers, I think it could be possible that they could be 4-1 to start the year. Could we be talking about 5-2 at the bye? That's kind of my prediction.
Yeah, I mean, look, you get the start off of the Raiders. I think you give them a win at the Chiefs. I had the Chiefs winning that. Jags, easy win. Jags at Houston. If Deshaun Watson suspended, they're 4-1. At home against the Broncos, that's not really a great home game because Denver definitely travels. And then home against Seattle, like, even if you want to say Denver beats them and they lose at Kansas City, 5-2 feels like worst case scenario for the Chargers going into the bye, barring like something, you know, obviously barring major injuries or some real, like, real heavy duty charging here.
Or Brandon Staley calling a timeout when he shouldn't.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Little coming out of the bye. Coming out of the bye, they have at Atlanta and at San Francisco versus Kansas City and at Arizona. I mean, it feels really bullish to have a team that's 5-2 go better than 2-2 in that spot.
2-2 is kind of my gut reaction there. San Francisco is a wild card when it comes to these preseason rankings. You have no idea what Trey Lance is going to look like, if Deebo Samuel's in the fold. So that one's kind of tough. I mean, I have them beating Atlanta. Kansas City, I'm going to split the season series there. So a win or a loss there. Arizona's another interesting team I'm not sure about. It's in Arizona. It's in week 12. Maybe that's the point in the season where the Cardinals begin their weird downward spiral that they usually do in the late season. So 2-2, 3-1, if you're really bullish on the Chargers, in my opinion, coming off of that week 8 bye.
Yeah. So that's 2-2 there for the Chargers. Let me flip my thing. I keep forgetting that I'm not in charge of scrolling. Debo is. So we got the Chargers. I think we both agree that the Chargers are probably 7-4 at that point. There should be 7-4 after 12 weeks of the season. They're then at Las Vegas. I think it's okay to give them a loss there.
I agree.
Home against Miami, I think, is a win. Home against Tennessee should be a win. Neither of those teams are going to travel like that far, I wouldn't think, and fill up the stadium. Like, they should beat both of those teams if they are that good. At Indianapolis, what do you want to do there? So we have them at 5-2, 7-4, 7-5, 9-5 with three games to go. Although all three really tough games. Oof. At I'm Indy, leaning,
yeah.
First Los Angeles at Denver. Give me a record for those three games.
At Indy, I'm going to give them a win. I'm giving them a loss against the Rams, of course. And then at week 18, that's going to be tough. We talked about this being the toughest division. No one's going to be resting their starters in that final week of the regular season. It's on the road in Denver. That makes me lean towards Denver. So maybe a 1-2 record to end the year.
All right, that's 10 wins on the nose. So the Chargers, to me, that makes the Chargers tough because we had them splitting with Denver and splitting with Kansas City. And splitting with Las Vegas. So you split the division. That's just not unreasonable. Could they win more? Yes. Could they win less? Absolutely. I mean, that's like rocket science and I'm like crazy knowledge I'm dropping here. But in this tough division, it's just really difficult, I think, to give anybody like, you know, to be like, oh, they're going to go 6-0 in the division. Like, that would be pretty shocking if anybody went, like, I mean, 4-2 would be a strong effort in this division. I guess somebody might have to. They got some layups on the road, games they should win. But it's like if they lose to Miami or Tennessee and then like Deshaun Watson plays, you know, it could be a 9-8 season again. It should be a 12-win season given the talent they have. I mean, I think you have to pick two. You can't obviously go over with all three of the teams in this division. You know, no offense to the Raiders. I mean, you have to pick, are you going to be in on Denver or Los Angeles this year? And or do you buy the Chiefs? So you could be in on Denver and LA and be down on the Chiefs, and that's fine. But I think if you're high on the Chiefs and you believe in the Chargers, you sort of have to be out on Denver too.
Right.
I would lean over on the Chargers because I think the schedule is very friendly. But we'll look at Denver in a second. Coming, I assume you're leaning over on the Chargers as well, even though.
Yeah, I am. And I did want to mention, I was looking at very winnable games for all four teams. And in my opinion, I think the Chargers have the most winnable. You know, I'm talking about looking at lesser teams and automatically marking up a W. Jaguars, like Texans.
At Atlanta should just be a win. If the Chargers are as good as they're supposed to be, that just needs to be a win.
So that's four wins if I'm looking at those opponents. Split the season series with the rivals. There's seven right there. You can talk yourself into leaning over. There's that push opportunity as well. So, yeah, I told you I'm bullish on the Chargers. I think I'm taking the over.
9.5, I would definitely take the over. 10, I'm at least like a little hesitant because I think there's a really good chance you push. But if they come out and go start 7-0, I mean, which – or even 6-1, which would not be crazy at all. Like if Deshaun Watson suspended, 6-1 just wouldn't be surprising for them given the setup. And if they start 6-1, I mean, you have to be thinking push is kind of a nightmare at that point because you just really need four wins and there's definitely four out there on the table for them. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, how does the Denver Broncos schedule look next? The all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip. Maybe you're out camping in Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
I know I do this every time, and I'm sorry, Diva, but like, if you're listening on the podcast, you don't see the ads that run on our YouTube channel during the show. Like, we actually have ads now, which is kind of exciting. You know, like they run in, it's like an ad roll and it runs. And we keep getting these Top Gun Maverick ads. I could not be more excited to see this movie.
I mean, that ad was great. I found myself completely enthralled during our little break.
Like, I'm a big Top Gun fan. Anyway, you're not old enough to be like a diehard Top Gun fan. Like, and I'm like right on the edge, but like, you know, Top Gun and Days of Thunder were, you know, are like, I'll watch them anytime, anywhere. The action scenes in both don't necessarily hold up like great. It's like two dudes talking in a cockpit and then like a plane explodes and it's like, woohoo, math! Like, I think the action scenes in this new one are going to be just top, top notch.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to Jungle Goat in the chat says the original Top Gun is one of the most overrated movies of all time.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Absolutely not. I mean, tell me you're 32 without telling me you're, or tell me you're 28 without telling me you're 28, which frankly, I would like to be 28 and be complaining about Top Gun, though, the original one. But like, it's not, I mean, it's not overrated to the people who grew up with it, but it's definitely overrated if you're younger and you watch it and you're like, what is this crap? Like, we had like, you know, like what's the first big action movie you remember seeing, Dejani?
I don't even remember, man. My Jurassic parents really, Park? Yeah, maybe when I was like a kid.
Right. But like Jurassic Park, like action, like craps all over Top Gun. Like, I mean, Top Gun is literally like, it's like shots of, like the action is just terrible. I mean, like it's, you know, it doesn't hold up. And, but now the, look, Tom Cruise. Oh, damn it. Jungle Goat's the same age. Yeah. Carry on. You know what? This is not a Top Gun podcast. I told we had to move along quickly. Let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Because they are flying high. Get it? Traded for Russell Wilson this offseason. Lost Drew Lock and Noah Fant along with Shelby Harris in the trade to Seattle. They lost Teddy Bridgewater as their backup when he bounced to Miami to back up Tua Tagovailoa, and added Randy Gregory in a sort of controversial signing where the Cowboys wouldn't pony up DJ Jones, Alex Singleton, Kwon Williams, Josh Johnson, backup quarterback, fun, and Billy Turner. So yeah, they added some nice pieces, but Russell Wilson, clearly the crown jewel of their offseason, and the NFL has decided to shine. They're over under, by the way, 10, 2021 record, 7-10. Everyone has been saying for, frankly, years now that the Broncos were a quarterback away with their roster and everything that they have in place. They just needed that quarterback, and they could become a Super Bowl contender. Their odds have been short in the last two off seasons because everyone believed that Aaron Rodgers was going to go there. He was only bolstered when Nathaniel Hackett was hired as their new head coach after they fired Vic Fangio. Instead, they work out a deal for Russell Wilson. And the first game of the year for the Broncos back in Seattle, where they're like, it's like 6-point favorites or something, or maybe it's like 4-point favorites, something very bizarre. It might even be 3.5. Anyway, Monday Night Football in Seattle, Russ returns. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start for Russ at Seattle. Clearly, you have some emotions there, but the Seahawks don't profile as a great team. Denver should win that game. Houston at home. 49ers at home, maybe trying to figure out their whole quarterback situation. And then at the Raiders to start. Colts at home next, at the Chargers, Jets at home, at the Jaguars. Like, I, you know, all these teams who finished last in their division to get these crossover games with the AFC West got totally screwed because you draw the Broncos. And, like, that's just not fair.
It's hard not to pick. It's hard to picture the Broncos getting off to a slow start with this schedule.
Yeah, sorry. I was putting money on the Broncos week one. I think that's the craziest schedule quirk, in my opinion. I think it was very weird. Why would the NFL want to open week one with Russell Wilson making his return to Seattle? That seems like something you would kind of want to build up to. I get it, putting it in the early stages of the regular season, but week one really shocked me. And yeah, I think that's obviously going to be a win. Listen, Denver has four of their first six games in primetime. I think that's absolutely wild. And going back to that week one matchup, maybe it's a good thing for Russell Wilson to kind of get that monkey off his back early so he can kind of get started with this new change of scenery. Looking at this first, what, eight games right before the bye in week nine, what's your projected record there? Because the way I look at it, I think they could be 6-2.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to have them splitting with the Chargers, so that's a loss. I'm going to have them – I guess splitting with the Raiders. We've been having all these teams split with the Raiders, but like that maybe, I mean, we'll talk about them in a second. I don't see them losing to Jacksonville, to the Jets. I think they'll beat the Colts at home. I think they'll beat the Texans at home. I think they'll beat the Seahawks, although I would not count Seattle out in that game. I think 5-3 would be a kind of a disaster for them. Like if this schedule, you really shouldn't lose more. I mean, 5-3. Okay, 4-4 is an absolute nightmare. 5-3 is a little bit of a disappointment, and then I think 6-2 is probably the average projection that I would have them at going into that Week 9 bye. So we're probably on the same page there.
Okay, perfect. And I mean, after the bye week, it definitely gets a lot more interesting. Yes. Jumping ahead a little bit, that Week 13-18. Really tough. Ravens, Chiefs, Cardinals, Rams, Chiefs again, Chargers to finish out the year. As we've been talking about, if you're betting on these over-under win totals, it's really going to come down to the buzzer there. That's a really tough stretch to end the regular season. That is
really tough.
Yeah.
I mean, week 13 on for the Broncos. So, like, they should – I think it's okay to give them a loss at the Titans out of the bye. I mean, it could easily win the game, but we can't just absolutely disrespect the Titans here. I mean, you know, you're bullish on the Titans usually.
I'm glad you said it.
Raiders at home should be a win, and at the Panthers should be a win. Like Russ wins on the East Coast, especially North Carolina. So let's say we have them at 6-2 going to the bye, and then 2-1 in those next three games. So you're 8-3. That I don't think that's unreasonable at all. I think they sort of need to be 8-3.
Correct.
Because, like you point out, week 13 on at Baltimore versus the Chiefs, versus the Cardinals, at the Rams, at the Chiefs, versus the Chargers. Even if they're a great football team, you're probably best case going 3-3 in that stretch.
Yep. That's exactly where I think I'm laying it. I mean, you talked about splitting the season series. I think I'm doing that with the Chiefs yet again. I have them losing to the Ravens. I think Baltimore could be a really sneaky team this year. Cardinals will be interesting. I'd rather catch them late in the year than early in the season, you know, just going off of recent history, giving them a loss to the Rams. And then week 18 versus the Chargers is going to be very interesting. And as I mentioned, I gave the Chargers a loss in that matchup. So I think Denver can end the season on a win. But again, playoff hopes, your tickets cashing for this over-under win total really going to come down to those last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, I think it's like if you bet the over, so we sort of consensus got them to 11 wins. So, I mean, again, like, I mean, kind of don't, I don't like the schedule for the Broncos and the Chargers is so much easier than the Chiefs. So, I mean, I guess I don't mind. And that's, you know what? It's because the freaking Raiders made the playoffs. So the Chargers have a third place schedule and the Broncos have a fourth place schedule. And we think those two teams are probably better than the Raiders. Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like anything less than 10 wins for either of these teams is probably a massive disappointment for their season and probably means they won't be in the playoffs. I don't know that both are going to get to 10 wins. It is possible. You know, we saw the Chiefs had 12, Raiders had 10 and Chargers had 9 last year. Like, you know, Chargers, you know, it could have easily happened, but, yeah, I think you probably need to be – if you want to bet the over, you need to bank on them being at 8 wins going into that stretch starting in week 13 because you've got, you know, a 3-3 finish you know, they can go 4-2 if they're a great team. Like Russ is, you know, they could, Arizona could be falling apart. Like, you know, they could, you know, who knows, the Ravens are injured again. You know, tons of different things happen over the course of the NFL season. But I think you need to be thinking 3-3 if you decide to take that over, meaning you're going to need 8-3 coming in, because, you know, 7-4 would get you to, is that right? 7-4. Yeah, 7-4 would get you to a push, but you're trying to win it. So that's something to think about. All right.
Yeah. And before we move on, I want to mention too, this seems really tough to kind of figure out, because I definitely subscribe to the theory that this team is ready to compete, to contend right now all over the roster. All they've been missing is the quarterback, like you mentioned. But at the same time, are we really going to pencil in Russell Wilson as a top 10, top five passer in 2022 in this new offense? I mean, he didn't have that great of a season last year. I do understand that he was dealing with a hand injury, but, you know, some people, those Broncos fans who are really gung-ho, who are placing their mortgages on the over with that 10 wins, you know, I'd be careful, because who knows what Russell Wilson is going to look like. And he's under a lot of pressure, man. I think the ceiling really hinges on the new quarterback. So that's really the kind of storyline to watch when it comes to the Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing to worry about too with Denver, and like, again, I think they're a good team, but we're sort of just automatically assigning them greatness and like free.
Oh no.
Is Brinson gone?
It's the Jordan DeJani show. It's about time, baby.
I'm here too, Jordan, to help us carry through until Brinson's Chrome gets back in a minute. Do we want to go Vegas?
Yeah, let's go Vegas. I was going to ask you your thoughts. If you had to pick over under 10 for the Denver Broncos, what's your thoughts?
It wasn't even Chrome. It just StreamYard just tossed me.
Well, the Jordan DeJani show is very interesting for 30 seconds.
I was already back in the waiting room and hearing y'all laughing. Like, you're like, oh my God. Debo Mercer, like, you just be glad Debo wasn't on like a call for another podcast or something. All of a sudden, you're like, well, I'm now going to filibuster for 3 minutes about the Las Vegas Raiders, everyone.
I'm going under, Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would, man, the schedule is so easy, but they're just like, you could, like, they could lose to San Francisco and Indy. And like, people stumbled against the Jaguars, and that they're definitely a better team. Like if they lose at Seattle week 1, all of a sudden your over is in kind of peril. So, and look, like I was saying, right, like Reza cut me off, a new head coach, you know, not an elite offensive line, some really nice weapons, but a new head coach, new quarterback, and new pieces. Now I know that has won the Super Bowl the last 2 years with the Rams and the Buccaneers, but neither of those teams, as I pointed out, had a new head coach. So like everything was the same except for the quarterback. And I do worry about that a little bit, but
yeah, I think they're a team that could explode or flail down the stretch. You know, it's going to be really tough to tell.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders. I went down to Oakland and they weren't there. They open up. I mean, it's just, I mean, this AFC West, dude, like some of these stretches of schedules for the AFC West are just brutal, man.
Absurd. Yeah.
So you've got at the Chargers versus the Cardinals, who usually start hot with Cliff Kingsbury, at Tennessee versus the Broncos, and at the Chiefs. Like, I think if you're the Raiders, 2-3 is kind of a win.
Yep, that's my prediction, is 2-3. I think even a 1-4 could be possible.
I think 0-5 is on the table. 0-5 is on the table. 1-4 is totally possible. I'm saying 2-3, you're like, okay, we're sort of survived. Like, I mean, you're about 3 road games against, you know, like would-be playoff teams, and then home games against 2 teams who, you know, seem like pretty good playoff caliber people.
Absolutely. And, you know, getting the Cardinals, I talked about last team, getting the Cardinals late would be ideal. But at the same time, they're not going to have DeAndre Hopkins either. So it's very possible they get off to a slow start. You know, yeah. You said 0-5 is on the table. I wouldn't go with that. I'd probably go with 1-4, worst case scenario, 2-3. I'd love to be high on the Raiders this year. I would absolutely love it for Derek Carr, Davante Adams, Josh McDaniels. But one of these teams in the AFC West has to finish last in the division. And Vegas clearly thinks it's going to be the Raiders.
Yep. 0-5 is on the table. No, it's not. I don't think it's likely. They'll find it. They got, they add, I forgot to mention who all they added and whatnot. But obviously, they added Devontae Adams via trade from Green Bay. They signed Chandler Jones as a free agent, brought in DeMarcus Robinson, like sneaky little ad. Keelan Cole, like, really bolstering that wide receiver room. Rock Ya-Sin, they picked up in a trade as well. Jayon Brown, decent little signing. And then they lost Yannick Ngakoue. They lost Casey Hayward, Zay Jones, Bryan Edwards, who they just recently traded. And, of course, Marcus Mariota, their backup quarterback who left. So, over under, by the way, 8.5, the under -125 after going 10-7 a year ago. If you're really optimistic, you can go 2-3. I think we both think 1-4 maybe is sort of the landing spot there coming out of the gate.
Yeah. I'll tell you what,
let's be generous and go 2-3.
Okay, thank you. I'm leaning towards that direction too. And I like the Raiders. I want them to be good.
Yeah, I don't want the Raiders to suck. It's just those games are hard.
Yeah, like, for sure.
They're not favored in 3 of those games for sure, the road games. I bet if Denver comes out blazing that Denver's favored in Las Vegas, or, you know, at least a pick 'em, and then, you know, they'll be favored against Arizona. But if Arizona beats the Chiefs week one, who knows? Out of the week 6 bye, and I think week 6 byes are brutal in the first place, especially brutal in a 17-game season. They get the Texans at home, which we think should be a win. At New Orleans and at Jacksonville, I think you're going to have to make a long road trip there. You probably stay over in New Orleans, maybe, and then fly to Jacksonville from there.
Does that happen a lot in the NFL?
I mean, I guess it's a 1 o'clock game Eastern time, so maybe not. I guess with Vegas, you go back to Vegas and then fly back to Jacksonville. Yeah, that's probably right.
Regardless, I'm splitting that, right? I'm going to get the Saints.
I mean, they could beat the Saints and lose to the Jaguars. I wouldn't be shocked. Or, lose to the Saints, beat the Jaguars. So we've got 2-3, 3-3, 4-4 through 9 weeks. Colts at home.
I'm going to give that a win to the Raiders.
Okay. I'll acquiesce to that. I think they could lose it. We'll see. I think both teams have lots of question marks about them. So 5-4. I think you lose at Denver. It's 5-5. At Seattle is not a freebie, but we're giving it to basically everybody who plays the Seahawks, it feels like.
Yeah.
You got a win or a loss at Seattle?
Win for the Raiders.
Okay. So that's 6-5. Chargers at home. You going to split them? Did we split them?
I'm going to split them with the Chargers. Yes. The Chargers get the revenge on the Raiders week one, but the Raiders win in week 13.
Okay. So 7-5, loss at the Rams, I assume.
Yep.
7-6, win or loss against the Patriots. I'm not betting on Josh McDaniels against Belichick. I'll tell you that much.
I'm taking Belichick in that one.
Okay. 7-7 at Pittsburgh. All right. So to close out, they're going to need to win two of at Pittsburgh versus San Francisco versus Kansas City. Do they get it done?
So I actually did this for CBS Sports. I wrote an article predicting every single game for the Raiders, and it was very tough. And this is where I landed. They lose against the Patriots. Those final three games you're talking about. I have them beating the Steelers in Pittsburgh, which will be interesting. Who knows who's playing quarterback at that point in the season? Now, what? They only need one more win to hit their over. I don't have that happening. I have them losing to San Francisco as Trey Lance and company continue to jockey for playoff positioning late in the year, and then week 18 against the Chiefs. As I mentioned, and if what I said, you know, comes to fruition, no one's going to be resting their starters in week 18 when it comes to the AFC West. The Chiefs are going to need that game. It's going to be in Vegas, but that doesn't matter. The Chiefs come out victorious, and I guess we landed on what? A final record of 8-9 for the Raiders?
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. I like the under. Bill Barnwell and I did some over-unders on his pod. Mark your bingo card. But he had the Raiders under, and I tend to agree with that. I think
it's tough because they went 10-7 last year, right? And made the playoffs. Like, they overcame so much adversity. You would think with all the offseason additions that they made, that they could be a team that could return as a wild card. But at the same time, the AFC West has just been adding major pieces, making splash additions all across the board. The Chiefs have already been established as perennial contenders. Unfortunately, it looks like the Raiders, in my opinion, will be finishing last in that very formidable division.
Yeah, it's just a really hard division. And I think that, it sort of goes like, everybody makes these big additions in the offseason. It's like, oh, well, they fixed everything. It's like, it's just, it's not that simple. You know, it, like sometimes it takes some cohesion for it to happen. And, you know, you got a new head coach, you got new pieces in place in both, Denver and in Las Vegas, which I think is sort of flying under the radar because they made so many big splashy moves. So we kind of think under on those under, like if we're making official consensus pod picks that I have to give to John Breach tomorrow when he's doing his newsletter, I'll go Chiefs over and Chargers over and Broncos under, Raiders under. You'd probably go Chargers over and three unders. Is that right?
No, I'll go Chargers over, Broncos over, and I'll go under for the Chiefs and the Raiders.
Okay. I will tell Breach that there's some, maybe that's the point of the newsletter, some debate about the
for
Chiefs.
Sure.
All right. That'll do it for the AFC West podcast. Win totals. We'll be back tomorrow with, maybe, I don't know. Well, tomorrow or maybe Monday, whatever, however, depends on how you're listening or how you're watching. Regardless, an excellent coverage. An excellent podcast covering the AFC West. Jordan Ajani, as always, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
You're the man, Brinson. Appreciate it.
All right, for Jordan.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.